Well, it is indeed a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Always good to come and worship with you, Red House Baptist, and honored to fill the pulpit today. In the absence of Pastor Darren and Benita while they're down in Querétaro, Mexico, I'd like for you to turn this morning to a passage that really relates to our mission, the partnership that you have had and continue to have in Querétaro, our associational partnership. But in general, this, I think, relates to us as God's people, being a people who are on mission. That's in Acts chapter 11. Acts 11. If you would turn there with me to your copy of the Word of God, and I'll be reading from mine, beginning in verse 19. Here in verse 19, we're introduced to the church at Antioch, which became a strategic church through whom God worked to touch a whole region. Antioch, the church at Antioch, beginning in Acts 11, verse 19. I'm reading from the English Standard Version today. And it says this: "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists," or that is the Greeks, or the Greek-speaking non-Jews, in other words, Gentiles, "also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." Now, there's an interesting verse here that just always grabs me, and that's verse 23. If you look at just the first line of that verse: "When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad." Did you know that you can actually see the grace of God? Had you ever thought about that before? You know, God's grace comes in many different shapes and sizes. God's grace appears in many different colors and languages. Sometimes God's grace comes in the most unexpected of packages. And sometimes God's grace appears in the most unexpected of places. But no matter what its shape or where it's found, God's grace can be seen by those who have eyes to see it. The Bible tells us that Barnabas left out from Jerusalem and he went to Antioch on an exploratory mission trip, a vision trip, if you will. He went there to investigate what was happening, to see what was going on, because the news had reached the church in Jerusalem. Antioch was a place far from Jerusalem, both geographically and demographically. The people of Antioch were of a different ethnicity, a different race. They were Gentiles rather than Jews. And it was a place where some folks back in the original church in Jerusalem might not have expected to find the grace of God. But the grace of God was there. And it was there in abundance. And Barnabas saw it. And when he saw it, you know how he reacted. He was glad. Barnabas saw the grace of God and he was glad. And that should be true of any of us. Anytime we see or hear of God at work, whether it be around us or whether it be around the world, we should rejoice and be glad. We should be excited about what God is doing. Sometimes God is doing more than we give him credit for. Sometimes we get so distracted and so focused, so consumed on other things that we miss out on what God is doing right under our nose or right down the street or right around the corner. Barnabas saw the grace of God and was glad. This morning I would ask you, are you glad for what God is doing in your world? And not just in your own Jerusalem, but in places far and wide. Well, I know that you are, because of the strong investment Red House Baptist Church has made in global missions, because of the specific investment you've made in Querétaro, Mexico, where Pastor Darren and Benita are right now, celebrating a church plant as it officially becomes a full-fledged freestanding church. Praise the Lord. By the way, you know that was the goal of the Mexico partnership when our association embarked upon it some 6 years ago, to come alongside our friends, our partners in Mexico, and to assist them in starting churches. And friends, that's exactly what you did. Praise God. Or should I better say, this is what God did through you, as you allowed God to work through you. So today I want to commend you for your mission vision. I want to commend you for your obedience to the Lord. And I want to commend you for your loving commitment to the people of Querétaro. You know, here's the reality, though. Some people can't see beyond their own church. They can't see beyond their immediate context, and they don't appreciate or rejoice in what God is doing in other places. Folks like that miss out on so much. Their world is so small, they cannot see the big picture of what God is doing. But I know that you can. Praise God. Barnabas was glad and he rejoiced because he had the whole kingdom of God in view. And he had a missional heart. He had a missionary heart. He had a deep interest and a deep concern for God's redemptive mission to a lost and dying world. Many of you are aware of the landmark study of Henry Blackaby, almost 30 years old now, Experiencing God. In that study, Experiencing God, and I'm sure many of you have done it, Henry Blackaby stated this. He made this profound observation that any time we see God at work around us, that is God's invitation for us to join Him in what He's doing. That's why we need to have our eyes open as we go through this world and be alert and sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking to us and making us aware of opportunities that are right before us every day. So what did Barnabas do when he saw God at work? What did Barnabas do when he saw the activity of God with his own eyes right there in Antioch? Well, he not only was glad, but he also got involved. How so? Well, he encouraged the people in their walk with the Lord. Look in verse 23 again. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Barnabas encouraged them. He exhorted them to remain faithful. By the way, we remember also from our study of the scriptures that Barnabas' name actually meant son of encouragement. That he was. Never minimize the value of encouragement. A big part of missions is about the ministry of encouragement. We all need encouragement. Missionaries need encouragement. Pastors need encouragement. People in Querétaro need encouragement. Pastor Jorge and Sophia need encouragement. All of God's people need encouragement. No Christian was ever called to be an island unto themselves. We were never meant to just turn inward and focus only on self. No local church was never meant to be an island unto itself. We all need each other. That's part of God's plan. There's no room for Lone Ranger Christians, and there's no room for churches that isolate themselves from the world. Barnabas had a missionary heart. He had a kingdom heart. He got involved with what God was doing, and he encouraged others. By the way, do you know a good definition of encouragement? Just a simple way to keep it in mind. Encouragement is when you encourage others. It's when you pour encouragement or pour courage into others. There are times in our Christian walk when any one of us at any given time may become weak. We may falter. We may need someone to come alongside us and help us and bolster our faith and pour encouragement into us. That's exactly what God desires for us to do. There are times we need to be on the receiving end of encouragement. There are times we need to be on the giving end of encouragement. And again, it is taking courage, taking our courage, and pouring it into someone else when they're in a weak place or a weak moment in their lives. We all need encouragement. I believe one of the greatest ministries any individual believer can have, or that any church can have, is a ministry of encouragement. So today, I want to thank you for pouring encouragement into the people in a place called Querétaro, Mexico. I want to urge you to keep on keeping on. And I want to encourage you to intentionally encourage others. And remember, people in Madison County need encouragement too. And if you personally haven't been intentional about encouraging people right here at home, it's time to start. Because this is your Jerusalem. This is your primary mission field. This is your primary encouragement zone, if you will. So Barnabas jumped right in. He got involved at Antioch by exhorting and encouraging others. But then also consider this. Barnabas motivated others to get involved in what God was doing. God was already working there. He was already working in that church in Antioch. But Barnabas wanted to use this as an opportunity to encourage others to get involved. Now, that's truly what missions is all about, isn't it? Getting others involved in God's kingdom work. Now, who in particular did Barnabas get involved? Some guy named Saul. His name later became Paul. You've heard of him, right? Barnabas saw what was going on in Antioch, and then when he saw what was happening, and his heart was made glad with what was happening, and here he was encouraging others as he was being encouraged by what God was doing. And then in that moment, it's like the light went on, and immediately he thought about this recently converted Pharisee from Tarsus. So he went and he got Saul, who became Paul, and he brought him to Antioch. And now bear in mind that Saul hasn't been a Christian very long at all. He's still wet behind the ears. He's still growing. He's still learning. But this mission trip to Antioch would be the first key step in Paul becoming a global Christian with a worldwide vision. So before Paul ever became a famous career missionary and church planter, he spent a year in volunteer missions in Antioch, on staff with this new church plant at Antioch, working under Barnabas, working alongside the new Christians in Antioch. What a training ground. Yes, Paul no doubt was a blessing to the believers at Antioch, but even more so, I believe they helped to mold and to shape him, to prepare him for what God had in store for his future. Because we read a little later in Acts chapter 13 that the church at Antioch set apart some to go out on missions, and they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them out as missionaries. Wow. This young church, experiencing the power of God in their midst, immediately were outward looking and began to send out others. By the way, I believe every church needs to be a sending church. No matter how young or old, no matter how big or how small, every church needs to be a sending church. By the way, it may interest you to know that I believe that Pastor Darren and Benita's trip is now the 62nd trip, 62 trips, mission trips to Mexico under the umbrella of our Association of Mexico partnership that commenced some 6 years ago. That's wonderful, isn't it? 62 mission teams have gone down to Mexico as part of this endeavor that all of our churches are involved in. You know, and by the way, Red House has a high percentage of that. A big chunk of those 62 teams are from Red House. So God bless you. So in Acts 13, again, Paul embarked on his first great missionary journey. And it all started with him getting his feet wet at Antioch. Antioch was the launching pad, and it was all because Barnabas, his mentor and friend, invited him to get involved. So Barnabas motivated others to be on mission with God. This morning, right here at Red House Baptist Church, I wonder if perhaps there's not a young Paul who needs to get his feet wet in missions. Or perhaps if it's not a Paul, it's a Paula who needs to get her feet wet in missions. Maybe the Lord today is speaking to your heart about going on a future mission trip or getting involved in some mission project. Maybe right here at home in our community. Before coming to my position with the association almost 4 years ago, I'd been a pastor for 30 years. The last 9 of those years was at a church in Virginia. And at that church, we had a girl that when I first went there, she was in our youth group. Her name was Elizabeth. She was a very girly girl, okay? And she was from a well-off family. And in high school, actually, I can say very frankly to you, and I would say this to her, I'm not saying it behind her back, she knows it's true, she was a spoiled little princess, okay? Don't look at anybody sitting near you now, okay, when I say that. But she went on, our youth group went on mission trips frequently. She went on many of those mission trips with our youth. And I remember our youth pastor came back and told me one time, she was just about the whiniest kid on the trip. Nothing suited her. But you know, the interesting thing was she graduated high school. She went to college. And later in college, God really got a hold of her. God did a work in her life. She really grew in the Lord. And she felt a calling to missions. But before she pursued that, she and I both knew that she really needed to get her feet wet. So Shama, I took her to Haiti, okay? So that's a good place to get your feet wet, isn't it? And so we went to Haiti. She was part of a mission team from our church. And I said, you need to go and experience Haiti and get a taste of mission and experience the culture. She went, she did a wonderful job. And after that, she applied to be a journeyman with our International Mission Board. By the way, young people, that's something some of you may need to pray about and be open to what God is saying to you. As you're in college or finishing up college, maybe God wants you to give a couple years of your life and go serve somewhere on a mission field in a foreign land. Well, Elizabeth felt that call, so she applied with the International Mission Board. She was willing to go anywhere. She was willing to go to Haiti. She was willing to go wherever in the world God would send her. Guess where he landed her? Rome, Italy. That'd be a tourist destination for some, wasn't it? But there's a great need there. And despite the religious heritage of Rome, there's tremendous lostness. And she went and served and did well there. She came back to the States. She just recently completed her seminary degree at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in North Carolina. She's preparing now for the next step of what God has in store for her. He has written missions on her DNA, so I'm not going to be surprised to see her be a career missionary. But you know, 10 years ago, when I looked at all of the kids in our youth group, and we had a bunch of them, my goodness, she would have been the least that I ever would have thought would go into mission work. Absolutely. I'm not kidding. We had another girl. Actually, I thought God was going to call her to be a missionary. That didn't pan out. But it's just amazing. I never would have picked this girl for this role. But you know, God surprises us sometimes, doesn't he? God surprises us. And most of the folks in Jerusalem would never have picked Paul. But Barnabas encouraged Paul and gave him the opportunity to get his feet wet in ministry. We need to give people those opportunities as well. So Barnabas got involved. He motivated others to get involved. What else? There was something more. Barnabas also communicated needs and opportunities. Now that's not stated here in the text we read, but it's implied. Because understand why Barnabas was even there. Barnabas had been sent there from the church at Jerusalem to go and investigate and see what's happening down in Jerusalem. To go check out this situation to discern then how the Jerusalem church could best be of help to this new work in Antioch. So Barnabas was sent as an emissary from the mother church, if you will. Barnabas was a go-between. He was an observer and a communicator reporting back to Jerusalem as to what God was doing in Antioch. And that's important because, you know, God's people need to be informed, don't they? If you don't know what's going on, how can you be of help? And your church has done a good job with this, sending numerous teams down to Querétaro, reporting back on what God is doing, and then responding to needs and opportunities as you discover what those needs and opportunities are. So it's very important to stay in touch with your mission partners on the field. And Barnabas is a model of that. So today, we've noted that Barnabas was a missional Christian with a kingdom focus. He encouraged others. He motivated others to get involved. He communicated needs and opportunities. And all of these are means by which Barnabas became an extender of God's grace. You and I also need to be extenders of God's grace. How can we do that? How can we be extenders of God's grace? Well, in addition to what we've talked about, we need to pray, right? We need to remind ourselves of the importance of prayer. We need to pray with intentionality, pray with awareness, pray specifically for missionaries and mission partners by name, pray for their specific needs. By being informed about those needs, we can be specific in our prayers for those needs. But also, as you know, we need to give. We need to give. I'm so thankful to be a Southern Baptist. I'm thankful for our cooperative program. And I'm very thankful for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which are opportunities to touch the world and to touch our nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we give so others that can go. But here's the thing. Also, go. You might need to go. If you can go, by all means go. There's so many opportunities today to do short-term missions as well as long-term. Let me tell you, for those of you that haven't done so, going on a mission trip opens up new horizons for you. First time I went on a mission trip was over 30 years ago. I was a pastor, 29 years old in my first church. I was sitting in an associational meeting. I was in Virginia. I started my first church in Virginia. My last church was in Virginia. I was sitting in an associational meeting there. A representative from the state convention came, and he was doing a presentation on a new partnership that had just been established with the African country of Tanzania. Now, I'd already heard about the partnership, and it wasn't something I was particularly intrigued by or interested in. But on this particular day, something happened. I don't know. God just got a hold of me. I remember the moment vividly. I'm sitting there listening to this presentation. The Holy Spirit came over me. I felt this sudden and unexpected compulsion to go to Africa. And so I remember sitting there while I'm listening. I about squeezed my wife's hand off while I'm listening to this gentleman present this. But after this meeting, I realized God was calling me to go and be a part of this partnership. Now, I'd never even been out of the country before. The strangest and furthest place I'd ever been was Texas, okay? I don't remember if I had to have a passport. I'd only been across the Mississippi River twice, and one time was just to drive across it to say I did and turn around in Arkansas and come right back into Tennessee. You know, and so I hadn't been around many places, but a few months later I was headed halfway around the world on my first mission trip, and you know what? I've never been the same since. Going on mission trips opens up new horizons for us. Here's the thing. It's good for us to meet people that are different from us. It's good for us to worship with believers who are different from us. It's good for us to learn that everybody's not like us. It's good for us to be placed in different settings that challenge and stretch and grow us. By the way, did you notice a moment ago how the church at Antioch began? Go back to verse 19. This is very strategic, very important. Go back to verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution, and you can go back in Acts 8 and read about the persecution that broke out following the stoning of Stephen and how people scattered out of Jerusalem. You know, the church had been commissioned to go and take the gospel to the world, but everybody was still kind of hovering around Jerusalem at this point. But God sent a persecution and good came out of it. Good came out of it by this persecution coming, and the church scattered and went out far and wide sharing the gospel. So they shattered, and they went to these different places, evangelizing as they went. But what we see here, let me pick up a reading again, verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch speaking, watch this, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists. And we said that's Gentiles, Greeks. Also preaching the Lord Jesus. They're proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, all these people being scattered. They're going far and wide, evangelizing as they went. But most of them were preaching only to Jewish audiences, those that already had the foundation, if you will. Because, I don't know, was that because of their limited mindset, the limit of their scope of their thinking? Was it because of prejudice or fear? I don't know. But whatever it was, they, whether intentionally or inadvertently, they drew a boundary around God's love. But thank God for those believers from Cyprus and Cyrene, because they were willing to go to a people that were different from them. And because of that, the church at Antioch was born. So the church at Antioch was planted by a people who had the courage and the compassion to break down barriers. Praise God. And God was in it. And God smiled on it. God, as we already have noted, did a great work at Antioch. In fact, it was at Antioch where the believers were first called Christians. Wow, what a testimony. That term had never been used before. But Christ was in them. And they were so identified with Christ, they were called Christians. Now, let me be frank with you for a moment. And it pains me to say this. Okay, but I'm going to say it. Some people don't like Mexico, be it political reasons or be it racial prejudice. Some people don't like Mexico. They don't like Mexicans. They don't care for the Mexican people. I'm just being very honest. So I say that to say this morning, I want to thank you, Red House Baptist Church. I want to thank you for loving the Mexican people. A people whom God created, a people for whom Christ died. I want to thank you for being gospel partners with Pastor Jorge and his church. I want to thank you for laboring alongside them and encouraging them and helping them to carry the good news of Jesus to the people of their region, their Judea, if you will. Someday, heaven is going to reveal the great fruit of your investment. And on that great day, you are going to be so grateful unto God that you are part of it all. Until that day comes, my friend, may God continually enable you to see His grace and to be glad and to be a blessing to others every day of your life. Would you pray with me? Father God, I want to thank you so much for the example of Barnabas, for the example of those believers that took the gospel to Antioch. I want to thank you for what you did in Antioch, where the grace of God was so evident. And Father, we pray in our hearts, in our lives, that we would be a people in whom the grace of God is evident, and that we would be glad as we see the grace of God around us in this world, wherever you're at work. And that, Father, we would join you in your activity, that we would be global Christians with a view of the entire kingdom of God before us. Father, thank you for allowing us to be a part of it all. Father, you know today the needs of everyone here. You know our mindsets. You know our unique situations. You know the issues that we struggle with. And Father, I just pray right now that God, your Holy Spirit, would speak to each heart at their point of deepest need. And Father, if there's a decision that needs to be rendered today, if there's a confession and repentance that needs to be offered unto you today, Father, I just pray that your will would be accomplished in each life. Give everyone the courage, the boldness to do what they need to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.